Welcome to the Man Up, Man Down podcast, presented by Volker Baluda and David Pawsey. We discuss the pressures and challenges faced by men approaching middle age that we're often too embarrassed to speak about with our friends. You can find us online at www.manupdown.com. Enjoy the show and don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Men Up, Men Down. So it's a pleasure to welcome Tyler Slade today. He's a health and well-being coach and founder of Versus Life, a mental and physical fitness coaching company, helping people to survive, thrive and thrive. So that was a difficult one for German here, through life. And he has an extraordinary story of how he went from being suicidal to helping other men to improve their mental and physical fitness. So we're looking forward to your story, Tyler. And first of all, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me, chaps. Thank you very much. It's absolutely my pleasure. It's always good to kind of come on these kind of platforms and back up some brilliant work that you guys are doing, have done and are currently doing. And, you know, an absolute pleasure.
Thank you. Anything that gets men talking, we're all for that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So there was a mouthful there for me to survive. Thrive and thrive. And
yeah.
The listeners probably go like, what is he talking about?
Sure. Right? I just did it to wind you up, Volker, because I knew that you got an accent. So I thought I'd get you to have a tongue twister.
Yeah.
No, I'm joking.
So it's a good thing. So what is it you do? Give us your story, because we had a pre-talk and there's a lot to uncover, I guess.
There is. I mean, and it is like everyone's got a story, right? And there's a lot that I could kind of mention and unpack. But I guess essentially, you know, keeping it to the theme and of what you guys have creating and talking, as you said, David, you know, being kind of vulnerable. I think that's a really, really important thing for everybody to do, not just men, women as well. But they just tend to be a little bit more natural at doing that. I think that's just the natural thing. I do feel like it's really, really important to talk and be vulnerable. However, I would say with that, I also feel that it's important to do that and then take actions with it, because I think it could be that it's fantastic that people can be brave and have the courage and enough to speak up and to have those discussions about things that perhaps they're struggling with, particularly around mental health. But I also feel that once those conversations have started and once you've been brave enough and the courage to do that, if you go back to sitting on your own and doing the same things, then nothing really changes. You stay with that. You know, you can express it, but you're still very, very vulnerable with it. So I think for me, it's really, really important. But action and having some curiosity, getting around a community, having that courage, as I say, and starting to make some changes is equally as important. I guess I'm quite an average kind of bloke. You know, I'm not someone who can sit here and tell you about massive traumas in my childhood. I was, you know, had a fairly, very fortunate upbringing from a loving perspective. I love my mum and dad are still together. They're an interesting couple. They met in a band, so it's very rock and roll. My mum's originally from America. That's probably where I get my confidence from, because Americans tend to have confidence in their veins. Perhaps a little bit too much. But my mum's American, and she met my dad in the early 70s in London. He was a drummer. She was a singer. And it was quite quick, I think.
I was going to say, is this where you tell us that your mum and dad are from Fleetwood Mac?
Yeah. Mate, if only, right? How fucking cool would that be? No. So again, I'm trying to condense this quickly. He basically got a pregnant shotgun wedding same year, had my eldest brother, who is 5 years older than me. I'm 42. Then they had four boys. My dad was a drummer, a musician, and he continued to do so that, but then financially they were up against it. He never really was established in any band that went on and made lots from it. So he was just a session drummer. What he earned, he spent, you know. And then he moved. His parents lived in Bognor Regis on the south coast, and that's where he actually grew up as a kid. So he had an opportunity to go and take the house there from them as they were getting older, et cetera, et cetera. Four of us boys come along. So my upbringing was good, you know, really, really loving. We didn't have loads of money, but we had a roof over our head and we, you know, we always got presents at Christmas and stuff. I always look back and I think there was always probably a little bit of, because I've got brothers, there was always a little bit of kind of trying to be the attention, I think.
Mm. So, sorry, where were you in the brothers?
In the brotherhood. Yes. I'm three of four.
Right.
So I've got one younger and two older than me.
Yeah.
And the top to bottom is 10 years.
Right.
The eldest is 10 years older than the youngest.
Yeah.
So we grew up in Bognor. In my late teens, I had an opportunity to do some TV presenting. It was a very random thing. They came to the school. I'm obviously quite upfront. And I was like, yeah, I'll give that a go. Did this one-off show. And then when I left school, I was really shit at school. Didn't really know what I wanted to do with my life apart from I would love to do that. And I had an opportunity to go and shoot a pilot of a TV show and they sold it. And I spent 2 years doing Nickelodeon, which was amazing in my late teens. And that was kind of it. I was like, right, this is what I'm going to do. So I went to London, I was going up to London and I did that in my late teens. Really, really great. And then series finished because all the rest of the presenters were like 14 and I was like 19. It started to look a bit weird. And then I was like, I'll go to London and do this. And so I just kind of sofa surfed, got a credit card and thought, right, I'll do this. And I got an agent and I spent the next couple of years really, really trying to make it work and it just didn't happen. So I'm in my early 20s. I'm like, fuck, what am I going to do now? And I spent my whole 20s just bumming around in London. It was good, you know, just working in Soho just as a post-production runner or saying, I can't remember to be in most of it was out of my head, if I'm fair, to be fair. I've got my missus who I've been with now for over 20 years, in my early 20s. She's also from down here. Then we moved to London. We were into London and I was there for about 10 years and it was getting to my 30s and I was thinking, what am I doing? Like, what comes next? And it was kind of my head. It's like, well, I've got this amazing woman and we'll start a family and then I'll get a job, you know, and follow the route, right? So we moved back down because London was really expensive. We moved to Brighton, which is not as cheap, just as expensive, but it was a natural thing to kind of come down from London to Brighton. And that's where things start to go a bit wrong for me. I started to work, just blagged a job in digital marketing, which I have nothing against, by the way. it wasn't for me. Like, I was just I was working in it and I just didn't really, I was blagging and didn't really know what I was doing. My wife wasn't working at the time. We just had our first kid. And it was like, right, we need to move out of Brighton because it was expensive. So we moved a little bit further along to Worthing, which we could afford. Just got a mortgage and I've been working in this job for a couple of years and it was horrendous. It was kind of just like every day, you know, and you get those dreads where you're like, what excuse can I make? Like to go in. And the financial, I felt a lot of pressure and I just didn't have anyone to talk to. And I just kept going, you know, I've got a good mask. So I was just, you know, I'm always quite the life and soul of the party and I was joking and da, da, da. But underneath, I was fucking really struggling. And I was like, what you got to be struggling about, mate? You've got a house, you've got a kid, got a job, like stop, you know. And I was battering myself for feeling this way.
Hello, it's Volker here. I hope you enjoy this episode. You might not realize that I have been coaching for almost a decade through both third parties and private clients. During that time, I have worked with brands such as General Electric, Imperial Brands, DHL and Pepsi. However, this year, I'm putting a big emphasis on growing my private coaching practice, improving lives of middle-aged men in leadership positions. So if you hit midlife transition point and you might be a bit stuck or looking to improve your work-life balance, your career, or productivity, you want to build a new habit, or you just want to become a better version of yourself, please hit me up. You can reach me on Volker@Obnatos, that's Volker@obnat.us, or LinkedIn, whatever is easiest. Thanks, and now back to the episode.
How old were you?
I was in my early 30s then. So,
yeah.
And it got to when it was 8 years ago and it got to a point where I was really just, I didn't know what to do. And I was just like, looking back at it now, but what I thought was be best if I wasn't here, because I'm shit to be around. I wasn't getting on. I didn't feel like I was being a very good parent. I was dreading every time go to work, but I knew I couldn't quit that job because what else could I do? Well, I didn't have a job at the time, blah, 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 blah. And it was crying for help. And I went AWOL for a couple of days and I just drank lots and took lots of stuff. And I got to a point where I was like, right, okay, this is it. And I took myself up to the top of a building in Worthing and I was ready to go. And I was crying for help. And when I kind of really, the only person that can help me is me. Like, I can get help. I'm not saying people go and get help, but right at this moment in time, no one's coming to save me. Like, I have to save myself here. And it's too much. Like, you know, I've got a child. I'm trying to think about my kid and trying to think about my wife and my brothers and everything. That's like, okay. So it didn't happen, obviously. Thank goodness. But it's too common. A lot of people get to that point and they can't find that strength and they're done. And we're in this state where it's a pandemic in itself and it's fucking heartbreaking. And I'm just like, so I don't want to swear too much, but I'm drilling this way. You know, I'm just like that man. Do you know what I mean? Like, people are worth it and dig deep. So I came out of that spell and I got some help. I went to the GP and did the whole kind of thing. And my wife had just said to me, you just got to stop. Like, and I'm like, well, we can't, you know, and a lot of it is financial. And I think I've got this quite hook up. I find it difficult. And I mean, a lot of people find lots of things difficult. Money for me is a weird one. Like I say, coming back to my childhood, trying to find it and not trying to blame my parents at all. But the relationship towards money was always, that was always the rouse in our house when I was growing up. It was always, I fucking know enough this now, da, da, da. And there was a lot of resentment about those that had money. Like, they all seem to be arseholes. It was a weird one. Anyway, and I think that still haunts me. And that's still kind of what I carry on my shoulders. And that's what I'm trying to constantly try and work through. But yeah, so my wife's just saying kind of stop. And I was like, well, we can't just stop. She goes, don't worry, it'll be all right. You know, and it was like, what do you want to do? And I'm like, I don't know, babe. I'm mid-30s. Like, I don't have any skills. I wanted to be a TV presenter. That didn't work. I don't want to go back and do this stuff. And she's like, yeah, but just, you know, think about what your skills and qualities are. And I'm like, I don't know. Like, what do you want to do? And I'm like, I'd be a footballer. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm 35. Like, what? Too late for that. Like, what am I going to do? And it was that realization as well, is that like a lot of people kind of go for this, just have a job, get married, have a mortgage, retire, dead. And I'm like, I can spend the next 30 years doing this. I can't do it. And so it was really kind of trying to soul search, like, you know, I'm good at communicating and I kind of felt this really empowerment of like, I don't want people to go through that scenario and do it. I want to try and do something to help people. And I got this opportunity to look at a wellbeing advisor role. And I was like, and it actually came off, we met someone through our NTC group, you know, when you go to a kid and you learn not to choke him or whatever, drop him or whatever. So we met this person through there and she said like, why didn't you look at your local authority? And again, my defenses came straight up with that because I was like, again, growing up, the local authority and council were wankers, right? In my household, it was like, you know, scumbags, bloody council, bloody Tories, blah, 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 blah. And so that bad taste in my mouth was there. I can't look at working for the council. I'm like, what? But I thought, you know what? Just drop that. Be curious. I'll be open-minded. And I went along and I did the application process, which was a ball ache, but I blagged it. Got an interview because I saw it and it was like, you know, you don't have to have too much qualifications. You work in the community. You can help people with their lifestyles, make changes, behavior. I thought, wow, that's really interesting. Learn about nutrition and stuff, you know. And I was like, okay. So I went along and I really got on well with the lady who kind of become a mentor to me in my life. One of those prominent people. You know, it's now and again, you get a few people that come in your life. And she was one of those. And we lost her this year, unfortunately. Absolutely gutted. She was ill for a very long time. But yeah, and I got the job and I haven't really looked back since. Like, it's been 6 years and I've been, like I said, I've never really been very good at learning stuff. I always, again, had the defense of, oh, I don't want to learn that. But like, but I've really enjoyed learning, because I think the major difference is I've never done something that I've learned that I'm actually interested in. Like, I've always done it because you've got to do it, you know, got to do the project management certification. Like, I don't want to fucking do that. You've got to do it though. It's like, okay, you've got to get your GCSEs. You've got to do that. You've got to. And I didn't have to do like this. The learning comes up, but it's like, wow, great, looks exciting. So I'm like a sponge. And whenever there's something that pops up, I'm like, would anyone like to be a volunteer? I'm like, yeah, I'll do it. Because I just want to learn more about this stuff. Like, it's fascinating how people behave, certainly around behavior, around habits, formations, this kind of stuff really fascinates me. And so I've been working now, I've worked with thousands of people, and generally speaking, it's kind of around lifestyles. It's around people changing their lifestyle. There's normally like a topic. So it's normally around perhaps people who want to lose weight, or they want to be more active or whatever. But underneath all of that, underneath that top level surface stuff, because generally I'm not going to insult anybody's intelligence. Everybody knows what they should and shouldn't do when it comes to not smoking and not drinking alcohol and all this kind of stuff. But what really interests me and fascinates me is the roots. Like, why is it people can't stick with stuff? Why are people find it so hard to find some momentum or believe in themselves that they can make changes that are positive ones that are going to help them from their health, both physically and mentally? And so that's kind of comes down underneath that belly of like kind of around behavior and all that kind of stuff really, really fascinates me. So mindset and all those kind of things. So I enjoy my role, but I kind of feel like I'm right. Okay, what's next? I'm always someone who wants to keep progressing. I want someone I'm banging into my personal development. And I want to kind of like, okay, how can I do something as well, which perhaps puts all demons to bed, gives me a little bit more fulfillment, and how I could help people more closely. Because obviously my role is a lot of just sitting there and we're talking and setting goals and things, and then I won't see them again for a month or whatever. What can I do to really get people to experience that? What we said at the top around kind of being vulnerable, talking about their emotions and their behavior, and then actually doing some actionable things to try and work on this, and me being involved in that whole process, because I don't get to see this bit. They're off, they go, and they come back, and they've done it or they haven't done it. And so I got into the kind of the cold water stuff years ago now. It was kind of...
Tyler, so if I interrupt you.
Yeah, please.
Before we go there, I still want to go a little bit back, curious, on two aspects. So one is, you know, when you actually went on top of that building, and you know, however much you want to talk or don't want to talk about it, what made you actually, if I say, turn around and walk down? You know, did someone come and talk to you, or did it come out of yourself? You know, to say, and it's maybe a wrong way of asking it. So, you know, were you not ready to do it yet? It's like, what is it?
It's a really good question, Volker. There wasn't anyone there. And I think that was part of me not doing it, because the realization was it has to come from within. And the only person that can save me is me. And I think I did think about, I'm very fortunate, I did think about my family. That came up in my gut. And just thinking about their lives with that huge gap in it, and knowing that this isn't just about me, although I'm the one that has to do this and change things, but it's not just about me. You know, there's other people who I'm connected with in my life that love me.
I think it's just such an important point, and that's why I was asking, because you know, we always say when we come onto the podcast, or when we launch the podcast as well, we say, you know, if we can, you know, tell a story or share a story, right, and prevent one suicide, right, our job is done, right? Every life is worth fighting for. And, you know, that's what I was asking, you know, and it's so nice to hear, you know, it's not about you, right? There's so many people, you know, that would support you, that do love you, right? And they pull you back. I say they pull you back into life, and You know, life, you know, and I've never been in this situation, so it's always easy for me to say, right? But I think life always has more to offer, right? Even if you have to go back to ground zero and restart, right? And that's the story of you're telling, right? Yeah. You're restarting your life.
Yeah, it's really interesting to say that, because one of the things I talk to a lot of my clients about, people that I work and talk to about, is, and again, it sounds a bit of a cliche, maybe a bit corny, but I always talk to people about staying in the game. And actually, like, I give this analogy of like a computer game to a lot of clients as well. And if it, you know, I might have heard it somewhere, so I've probably nicked it from somewhere, but there's this kind of entry level of like level one, right? I mean, you come into something, people are really keen to go up the levels. I get that. Like, okay, what's next? But I think what happens is when people get to certain levels and they find it difficult, is I think that the expectation is quite a lot. And so they feel like they've got to keep this going, otherwise they've failed. And at that point, people have to, and then they go, I won't. And we could talk to this about being life. And I guess this was kind of back to your question, was at that point, I also felt I can leave the game, or it's okay to go back down again. It's okay to go back down to level one again, because I can build myself back up again. But just stay in the game and try to know that, again, from what you were saying, is there's loads to this. There's loads to this.
I like how you're saying, you know, stay in the game.
I don't like to give an analogy of life being like a game, but effectively it kind of is, because, like, and again, this is where the versus life comes from, which I'm doing now.
Yeah, tell us more about that.
Yeah, because this is, again, it's us versus life. We've got an opportunity here, right?
Yeah.
And when you were saying at the top with the things you were struggling to say, with surviving, so survive and strive and thrive, is effectively, that's what life is. And you can go up and down with those. So it's not always going to be, okay, you survive it, then you strive and then you thrive. No, because you could be thriving and then you might have to survive again. Or you could be striving for something and then you get knocked back down again, you have to survive again. Or you could be going from survival and suddenly you're thriving. But so it's a moving beast. And I wanted to try to encapsulate something that could be very powerful, and trying to replicate what I meant by, when you've got an opportunity here versus life, we have one go at this, and we are going to need to accept that we're at times going to need to survive. We're going to just need to survive.
Yeah, exactly.
And then at times we can look to strive. We can strive for better, and at other times we'll be thriving. Great, I've got this sorted. But then anything can happen to pull that from under your rug, and then again you might be surviving again. And that can happen from lots of different scenarios. It's from people in their lives. And I think, again, I come back to it, but it's this, like, I feel that there's this huge pressure on individuals. And I said to you, kind of mentioned to you about doing, like, you've got to do this, got to do it, got to do. And I think we lose the reality that we're beings. So why don't we just be and not all do all the time? We're human beings, not human doings. And it's hard because we live in a world where it is very, we're all consuming. You know, we're consuming things all the time. We need to consume because we have to do this and we have to do that and we have to keep up appearances and we need to get all these things. And I'm not saying that you get rid of all that stuff. I mean, if you were a monk and you lived on your own at the top of a hill, maybe you won't consume anything. Right, but reality is, I don't want to do that. Someone might, but I want to do stuff, but I also want to be. And I think this is, again, with the versus life, what I'm trying to create is an opportunity for people just to kind of be and survive and strive and thrive and have experiences of doing that with the activities and the opportunities that I'm trying to build within the community, and making it kind of. The best way to kind of explain it, and people often go, well, what exactly Like, so it's a mental and physical fitness. And I always lean towards we're going to do a sauna, we're going to do cold water, we're going to do some cardio work, we're going to do some breath work, we're just going to sit still and try and meditate, whatever, all these different things. But they're the bits. But what effectively it is, it's trying to combine this kind of, again, as I say, this kind of, I suppose, like PTing, like personal training. So the fitness world, you know, keeping your body fit because of what it does for physically, but also what it does in terms of it's creating those hormones and those endorphins for our brain. It helps us mentally. We know that now. That's fact. That's science, right? So I like that bit, and I like that around what's happening here around the cold immersion and around saunas, particularly the hot and cold. It does so much stuff physically for you from a cardiovascular point of view. It's ridiculous. Like, it's amazing. And more of this stuff will come out and come out and come out. But also, it gives you, and then so for that kind of fitness physical point of view, it also provides, and again, trying it into context, kind of when we talk about life coaches, we're talking about people who will help people with their mindset, will help people with a perspective of things, will help the people grow their confidence and their belief in themselves. And so when you do this stuff, you're creating this effectively anyway. And what I'm trying to do is, and what I'm creating is, I'm ticking both boxes with this. I'm kind of sitting somewhere in the middle. So it's creating a physical reaction for a person, but it's also mentally helping them with changing their mindset and perspective. So it's like a cocktail of fitness, and that's what I get really excited about. And the guys that I've engaged with over the last couple of years and the feedback that I've got, it made me think more and more, yes, you know, I've got to keep doing this. This is a mission here. I've got to provide people an opportunity of an experience where they can tap into these things and start to see the rippling effect of what it might do for their life in terms of surviving, striving, and thriving. Because it might not be, it's not a goal where you kind of do it and then everything's sorted, because nothing will ever be sorted because we're going to come up and down in life all the time. But if we're doing something where we drop this in, it might not make a big splash, but I'm seeing the ripples of people, particularly those who keep one of my values, I suppose, is consistency. People that keep consistency with something, that's really only how things change. If we're being brutally honest, you could do something once or twice, but in order for things to really change for you, you've got to keep some consistency, but you've also got to be mindful of what we mean by consistent and where your level is. Because again, some people are like, oh, I've got to do it all the time, got to do it every single day. No, you don't. But you do have to keep doing it. But it doesn't need to be, I've got to do work, I work out 5 times a week. Bollocks, no, you don't. But you do have to keep yourself moving a couple of times a week. And if you drop out of it because you're injured or you feel bad or for some reason, okay, don't beat yourself up. What can you do still that you can achieve? So if you have to come down to that level, again, to level one, and just chip away at something, stay in the game, make sure that you do it, have a little walk, make sure you keep yourself hydrated. Something which is just, you know, that is a fundamental that's going to keep you in there. You don't have to be doing all these extravagant things all the time. You can level up and you can come back down again. It's absolutely fine, but just stay in there. Does that make sense?
Makes sense to me. David, you're on, yeah?
But yeah, I mean, well, so some of the things that you mentioned, I mean, you know, sort of we had our live event earlier this week, and sort of one of the things that came up was sort of expectations, particularly sort of from a social media point of view. And, you know, what you were saying there about consistency, like, well, you know, that fits for you. And you know, and I'm a massive sort of victim of like, well, you know, the phrase comparison is the thief of joy. But, you know, it's kind of like everywhere you look, you know, you're being told that you're not doing something right. So, you know, it's sort of, you know, you might see something where it's like, well, you've got to be in the gym, as you say, every single day of the week. Yeah. Or, you know, you've got to be, well, you know, like the perfect father, or, you know, you should be working 12 hours a day. And, you know, and the thing is, you're basically sort of seeing a small part of someone's life, or, you know, the part that they put most, you know, most of their energies in. Whereas you're like, oh, well, I'm a father and I like going to the gym and, you know, so, well, and I, you know, and I have a job or run my own business. So therefore I should be working 12 hours a day, spending like quality 3 hours with my children every day, hitting the gym, you know, and then sort of maybe getting, well, time with my wife.
It's all consuming. And I think it's a really interesting point you should say, because I think there's a couple of things there. But the first thing, I think the reality of it is, though, is that as much as people want to say, and I'm an honest kind of person, brutally honest, is that it's in our nature, in your DNA as a human being, to compare. You're going to do that. Like, oh, I don't compare. Yes, you fucking do. Don't lie. Like, you do. Everybody does that. And I don't think you should be scared of doing that to a certain degree. Like, it's okay to be, like, accept that you are going to do that. Because the thing is, the more that you suppress something, the more you'll probably do it. Right? So it's kind of like, okay, I accept that, you know, that person's got a, they look like they're shit together. But what you've got to rid them really, 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 like, use your nonce. They'll have something that's not right. No one is perfect. Like, it's bullshit. It doesn't exist, right? There isn't this, like, golden kind of rainbow with someone that can piss in rainbows and, you know, unicorns coming out their head. Like, it's nonsense. But some people will have more stuff together than others. I think generally the thing is, when you're comparing, I think it's who you're comparing to. So if you're comparing to someone who's a knobhead, then maybe don't compare yourself to a knobhead. Try and find someone who actually is generally looks like a nice human being. They may have da, da, da. That's okay. So lean in towards something that perhaps is a little bit more helpful to compare, rather than something that looks a little bit too much or whatever. And you'll have your intuition. You'll know.
Man Up, Man Down is sponsored by Welldoing. As someone who has seen a counsellor for a number of years, I think their approach is great. They want you to find the mental health professional who is right for you. You can filter your search to highlight therapists with expertise where you need it, or you can pay to use their personalised matching service. The people who run Welldoing are experts in mental well-being, and they also have loads of posts and interviews to keep your mental health in good shape. Take a look at welldoing.org. I mean, I think, you know, it's interesting there what you say as well. You know, and it is like, yes, yeah, someone... Well, there's someone that does have their shit together, and there's someone that does a much better job of looking like they've got their shit together.
Yeah, of course.
You know, and the thing is, it's like, I mean, you know, it's sort of something we've talked about a few times now, but, you know, there's a few, like, documentaries on Netflix as well, and the one that I keep banging on about is the Robbie Williams one. I don't know if you've seen that, but, he basically just sort of talks about, you know, even though he's Robbie Williams, he's sort of got, comparing himself to other artists. You know, he's like, well, I'm selling out these stadiums, but I want this recognition of, you know, writing a great piece of art. You know, I want to be known as an artist rather than like an entertainer. And, you know, and it's almost like, I guess the sort of, and I think, you know, we're in this age of openness, where, you know, we've got podcasts like this where people bare their soul, and, you know, the more that you hear from, you know, like famous, you know, successful in inverted commas people, you realize that, you know, everyone sort of has that doubt, you know, and it doesn't matter. Well, I mean, you sort of talked about the, you know, like the extreme temperatures, you know, there was like the series that Chris Hemsworth did, and in the very first episode, he's like, you know, I wake up at 2 a.m. thinking, what if all of this goes away, you know, and it's like, oh, well, if Thor, you know, I know that he's not actually Thor, but it's like, well, if Chris Hemsworth has those doubts and those vulnerabilities, then perhaps it's all right for me to kind of be in that same space.
Yeah, and I think that's interesting, because I really enjoyed that myself. And one of the other things that resonated me a lot with that as well, though, was that, you know, he's a good-looking man. Like, of course he is. He's bloke fucking, like, he's well admirable. Do you know what I mean? But he is still just, again, just as a human, and he still has to deal with his kids being little shitheads when they're out. And that, you know, and he was talking about in the car and that, and I was thinking like, you know, like he's still having to survive life at points. He might have the muscles, he may have the house. And I'm not saying, again, I'm being honest, I'd love to have that kind of shit. It'd be great. Like, you know, let's be honest, who wouldn't
have
that kind of stuff? But the reality of it is...
doesn't stop you worrying.
You know, yeah, but he still has his struggles. People in his life will still pass. He will still have to go through grief. His parents and their loved ones are going to, you know. So you mentioned the point there around, again, about the kind of the way people communicate, you know, using social media as a prime example. That's a very fundamental part of a lot of people's life. It is for me. I try to, again, it sounds a bit of a cliche, but I try to create and give more than I consume and take. And I think I can, if I will take some. And interesting though, it depends what you take. So, you know, I'll try to manage my own. We're all in an algorithm, so I'll try and imagine my algorithm that suits me. If I start seeing stuff that I don't like, I'll get rid of it. Like, I'm not gonna, you know, I'm not. But it's hard because there is that, again, and there's that balance where you'll be kind of, oh yeah, but look, they're really, really working out right now, and I should be doing more of that, or I should be doing a jumping and an adult paddling pool in my garden every single day, or whatever it might be, because that's what everybody does.
David does, though.
I've got a smelly old water barrel that...
Likewise, dude.
But the thing is, I'm like now... Sorry, we're going off on a bit of a tangent.
What else?
At the time of filming, you know, it's very icy and frosty, and I've also seen someone, like a Facebook connection, post there, and I'm like, right, yeah, I need to get in. But
that's an interesting point. This is good, though, David, because, like, what's making you... And I think that's good in a way. So, again, coming back to, like, what my ethos is around... And I speak to clients about this who, you know, it could be an 80-year-old woman or an 18-year-old dad. It doesn't really matter. For me, I'm trying to support and help people make change, right? Effectively, people come into me because they want to change something in their life. That could be a physical thing, that could be a mental thing. Normally, it's both. But I kind of look at some fundamentals of change. I've got this kind of idea that I'm bouncing around, and I've got different ideas from different people. But fundamentally, I try and keep it to the C words. People are like, oh, hang on a second, where's it going with this? But I've already got it in my head, like, what this might look like as a talk, right? So, like, the C word is change, right? But what do you need to, fundamentally, what do you need in place to change? So, for me, one of the fundamental things that people need in place to change, the first thing would be community. So, where's your community? Where do you hang out? Who are you spending your time with? What do you look at? Who do you talk to? What's your environment like? Yeah. So wherever you are in terms of your community, that's going to be a direct relationship to the way you're going to live your life from day to day. So if you don't have one, then find one. The next one thing I would say, so the community is big. The next thing is to have some curiosity. Like, be curious. Try and not be naive. Try and open your mind a little bit to other people's perspective, other beliefs, different ideas. Be curious. Like, lean into that curiosity. Because unless you're curious, if you're not curious, then you're probably going, oh, that's not for me. I won't try that. I'm not going to do that. I'm not sure about that. I'm not that kind of person. Like, be curious. Like, you know, lean into that curiosity. Try different things. Look at different people. Have those different conversations. Courage. Massive one. Have some balls, man. Like, find that courage. Everyone's got this ability to have a little bit of courage to, again, and this is very topical, people will go on about being uncomfortable to get comfortable, pushing, you know, where's your fear of. The thing is, if you stay away from that, you're arguably going to continue to struggle. If we just stay comfortable all the time, just do what you've done, don't worry about it, consume what you want, it can really affect us. And I heard this from somewhere on this note. If the easy things, you'll have a hard life because of that. In one way or another, they come to bite you in the ass, physically or mentally. Harder things, having curiosity, having courage to try something or whatever. Harder things, easier life. Yeah. So we've got community, we've got curiosity and courage, and we talked about it a little bit already. Arguably, if you want things to change, you do have to have consistency in some form or another, but you have to manage your expectation in consistency. We were talking about a game analogy I like to kind of use all the time. It's okay to be on level one. Yeah. You will naturally, you'll go, okay, yeah, and you'll get to level two, and you might even get to level three or four. And when you get up here, it gets really, really difficult. And people go, this, I'm leaving. And they leave the game. It's okay to go back down to level one again. Just keep some consistency in there somewhere. And again, coming back to that community, what I'm creating now as well, what you just mentioned about it, and what maybe what your friend has done without you thinking about it too much, is a bit of accountability in that community. That could be you paying for something, watching something, getting part of that community where people are going, hey man, come on. Like, have you done that yet? And you know you want to, but you need someone to give you that, your community, to help leverage you to make that change.
Yeah, I mean, it's the old adage of, you know, you're the product of the five people that you spend the most time with. And, you know, I'm sort of, and I've been thinking about that quite a bit recently. And, you know, I'm like, well, you know, one of those people is Volker. And, you know, he you know, pushes me to better myself, you know, and like, well, and the guys from Fat Football, you know, it's sort of, well, again, that's, you know, a different community. But I mean, sort of one of the things, again, that came up at the live event was sort of, and, you know, and you've mentioned it yourself, you've got to kind of take, well, no one's coming to rescue you, was the phrase that you used. And, you know, and that's sort of something that, you know, I've sort of, well, yeah, I was kind of like, I had a moment of like, I'm not very happy with my life at the moment. And I was like, well, there's only one person that can change that. So, you know, I sort of, and I guess part of that was becoming more open to new friendships and, you know,
almost, courage, mate, curiosity. You know, I'll get a community around me. So like you say, yeah, no one's coming to save you apart from you. But it doesn't mean that you can't start creating these things in your life that can support and help you. It's not about, oh, you just have got to do it on your own. In fact, it should be the opposite, but you are in your own head. You are in your own body.
Also on that note, you know, it's almost like, well, if I'm having a day where I'm like, you know, I'm not, well, feeling depressed, you know, it's like, well, what I want to do is lay on the bed. But it's like, actually, if I get up, go for a walk, do, you know, say, right, I'll do like an hour's work, or I'll send some emails, and, you know, like the 20-minute rule, often if you say, right, I'll do 20 minutes of something, then it leads on to something else. But,
yeah,
you know, as you say, all those things are really hard. But then at the end of the day, it's like, well, you know, if I'd spent the day laying on the bed, I'd feel worse than I would, you know. And
you can get in that cycle with that, though, David. I think the other thing to be wary of that is that it's understanding what your level one looks like. Those consistency things that for you that are absolute basic that you can do, because it's okay to lie in your bed, dude. Like, if you're feeling like crap, you know, accept, let that shit go. Know that this is an emotion, and that this is where I'm feeling right now. But know, have the faith, and and know that it will come, it will fade. The shit glasses will clear, as they say. We'll come out of this. But if you beat yourself up for being on the bed, then you start that cycle of criticism, judgment, and the mind stays in that place rather than looking at the factual side of things, or the wise mind of going, we know what, no, it's okay, dude, but just stay in the game. Have I drunk some water? Maybe I need to get up and stretch my arms, whatever. Just do something, you know, a little bit of something. But don't have a go at yourself for feeling bad. Except that it's just, this is what's happening right now. I'm okay with that. But that's where you can look at, where can I lean into my curiosity or my courage or my community? What was my consistent thing that I can just do that I know that I'm still in here? I'm all right. I'm okay. But I think that's the thing as well. I've got to get up. I've got to go and do that run. I've got to do it. And you don't. And then you feel even worse. And you're off the edge of a cliff now. Bring that bar down. It's okay. Stay in the game. Just do a couple of bits. You know you're going to come out of this. Look to lean into your community. Let someone know. Do you know what I mean?
But yeah, I think, well, anyway, once again, you know, we've unfortunately got to the end of the episode. when it feels like we're only just scratching the surface. Well, yeah, thanks a lot, Tyler.
Thank you, chaps. Again, appreciate it. Brilliant work what you're doing. Yeah, if you want to come and join me versus life at some point, you'd be more than welcome.
I was glad to see in wrapping up, right? I mean, this, you know, as David said, right, we can go on, you know, we're just touching the surface. But, you know, first of all, thanks for coming and thanks for sharing, you know, your experience and your life story. And, you know, as you said, life is changing. It's this constant change. And, you know, as you said, we need to stay in the game. Because we can always make a difference, right? I think that's my key takeaway. As you just said, right? I know, you know, the sauna down in Worthing, right? That's where we need to meet.
You need to come and get involved, boys. You'd be more than welcome.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode. Feel free to reach out to Folker or David via our website, www.manupdown.com or podcast@manupdown.com. With any feedback or to let us know what topics you'd like us to cover in the future. Hear you again soon.